day. I would like to try to channel my imagination and write a sonic letter to Halim al-Dabh. Composer, electronic music pioneer, Pan-Africanist, musician, researcher, thinker, educator, creative ethnomusicologist, Pan-Africanist. Tell a story about the ancestors.
I'd like to dedicate the premiere to the people of Montreal and to, of course, Suwannee per el popolo. And the dog Dangan Def, according to legend, the legend that the Navajo legend, according to the Pueblos and the Zunis, the dog is man's best friend. But man fell, according to them. He fell into the abyss, Labim. And when man fell, and the dog was very upset, and he risked his own life to jump into the abyss, to go deep. But when he went there, man, of course, is the boss and the master. And he started to order, hey, sit, get up, walk. So man did not understand the friendship, and he started to tell the dog what to do. Come here, go there, bite. And the dog was fed up. He turned his ears and gone deaf. That's how the dog gone deaf. But he took pity. He took pity on man, and he said, I love you. I love you forever. And he pulled, and finally they found one thing in common. They find out that the Homo sapiens and the canine are both earthlings from this planet Earth. We stand with you, the barking dog sextet. We stand with you, the barking dog sextet. We stand with you, the barking dog sextet.
We stand with you, the barking dog sextet.
Nous vous aimons, always barking woof for you.
Nous aimons, always barking woof.
The best language we have to give you peaceful thought is to bark. Bark. Bark and bark.
The best language we have to bring you peaceful thought is to bark. Bark and bark.
Nous sommes avec vous. The barking dog sextet.
The barking dog sextet.
We always stand by you. The barking dog sextet.
We always stand by you. The barking dog sextet.
Nous vous aimons, always barking woof for you.
Nous vous aimons, always barking woof for you.
The best language we know to bring you peaceful thoughts.
The best language we know to bring you peaceful thoughts
is to bark and bark.
Is to bark.
Musiclist, the music of Halim al-Dabh. Chamber, solo instrument. To the letter of his name, Raymond de Mattia. Score, 1995. Guitar. A triptych to Segovia. Score, 1953. Contains three separate works, Rhythm in Space, Parallelism, and Toccata. My Foot Jarred the Stone, score, 1973. Wedding Time, score, 1983, to be played by Shadia at Amira and Tom's wedding.
I'm Bored. Organ,
March, score, 1947.
Dear Halim, I have been meaning to write you for some time now. Since we spoke in 2017, I have been thinking a lot about the stories you told me and what they meant to me. The stories of the healing powers of cats and the women of the Tsar. The stories of how you connect electronic music to human voice and how you connect electricity to the body itself and how voice is rather one of the elemental rhythms of our bodies. Of communication and of electricity.
Sonic number 10, Sonics, score, 1955. Piano, Arabiyot, score, 1954. Because Amira, score, 1959. Because Shadia, score, 1955. Coma Dance, score, 1950.
It seemed that everything
Egyptian
for you
suite,
is sound.
Belly, score, 1947.
Our bodies is sound. The air is sound. Voice is sound. Electricity is sound. Healing is sound. Travel is sound. Time is sound.
The cats have a healing energy when
That's
they chirp,
true.
And it creates a vibration in the body that rearranges things to place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the people of the Tsar, they do almost the same thing.
with their voice and singing. So it seems like something ancient Egypt enjoyed. Now we have to catch up with it.
Yes, that's true. Do you want me to start the interview? Is that fine for you?
Yeah, we can read.
Okay.
You can tell me. I mean, you have enough for a 400-page book here.
That's true.
You were right. That conversation could have turned easily into a book. You are a book. You are time. Less.
Well, I was born in Cairo, in Sher Al Gamir. I think that was in Sakakini. Mm-hmm. Big, huge house. It was a block of houses together, joined. And we had an apartment with like 9 bedrooms, because I was the 9th child. And the family originated in Asyut region. Mm-hmm. Abu Teeg and Zarabi, and you know, little villages of that province, Asyut. And but my mother told my dad, "We better move because we want all the kids to go to college." It was the motivation of my mother. He said to my father, "You know, let's get to the big city." My parents were generous, and they were, you know, my father moved from the village. Actually, I used to visit my father's new place in Rud al Farag. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Rud al Farag.
Yes, after of course. Shubra.
Yeah, after Shubra. And there in the Shuna, they call it, and he was Deir Hilal. You know, he works with different elementary things, food material like beans and lentils and things like that in the market. Mm-hmm. So I used to go visit the big place there, and they would bring their grains on boats. So I used to hear the Marek Beya, you know, they come into the Rud al Farag singing, and their song, they carry everything, and they sing as they carry it, and they do special music and special. So it was visit my father was very lively to know some of the traditions of the fact that the people of the boat, you know, they row the boat, and that song helped them carry what they were carrying. Because, you know, later on, they put a conveyor for them to carry, not from the boat to the land. Mm-hmm. They didn't use it because they lose the idea of carrying and singing and the physical contact. They didn't like losing the physical contact with the material they were doing. So they wanted this physical contact.
Evolution in Decadence, score, 1949. Fantasia Amira, score, 1946. Thaluka, The Celestial Journey, score, 1953. Fikra, score, 1950. Ifriqiyat, score, 1954. It is Dark and Damp on the Front, score, 1949. Meditation on the Nile, score, 1951. Mekta in the Art of Kita, score, 1955. Mekta in the Art of Kita, geometrical.
It is about time.
Feelings. Score, 19.
The other day, I was reading your notes about how you became interested. I wondered how I became bored. I'm bored. I'm bored of the narrative. I'm bored of the canon. I'm bored of those comparisons. I'm bored of finding another hero. I'm bored of the father figures of innovation, invention, invasion. I'm bored of the discovery, archive fevers, fetish. I'm bored of Tabir Azhar. Can you tell me a story?
When I started teaching Azhar ceremonies, I realized, you know, there's people who are dancing and moving and drumming and singing, a whole world of transformation that shook me. And I wanted to know more. If I record something and eliminate something from it. Like if I recorded the piano thing that I was playing and eliminate the fundamental vibration, the fundamental tones of the material I was playing, I have a different result. When I hit, whether I hit the very bottom parts of the vibrations or the piano keys or the high parts, or the middle, they each had different vibrational quality. So the essence of transformation made me thinking of elimination and addition. So here I was looking for, back then there was, and of course I was interested after I met Bartok, there was a period of interest in interest in recording. Egypt had a renaissance. Actually, Egypt was bubbling with music. That was a renaissance in Egypt. People were interested in music right and left, and the opera house. So when I started using recording, you know, the recording I became interested in the recording machines, and the availability came from Marconi and the Italian makers and what's the German one? Telefunken. There was a great industrial pour into Cairo of recordings and material sound, and began to experience the idea of recording and transformation of sound. So when I was sitting there in the Middle East radio, I saw what they have from equipment. I said, can I borrow some of these equipment and use them? And they were very well. My brother played piano there, and they were very supportive of me using their equipment and using the radio station, because the radio station had movable walls. I could move the wall as I eject sounds in a chamber and move the wall to change the vibration, change the echo, reverberation, electric energy. I was really screaming and having all very exciting changes that I made. I couldn't believe how much changes I could do. And then I took the equipment to a Azhar ceremony. I had many inputs to the Azhar. I went there by myself and asked if I could do that. And then I had one of our visitors from Bani Suif, some of the people who came to help my family. They said they know how to go to Azhar. So I, you know, it was facilitated for me to attend. And then I asked if I could record. And first, they really rejected the idea, but then they let me do that. And people would, under, you know, when they have ceremony and they cut a lamb on top of the person and the blood comes down and you do healing and all kind of healing goes on, and ceremony and singing and contacting physical and non-physical feelings. Feelings of vibration. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different world. And I realized that this is something that I am directed to to engage with the sound and its transformation.
Laila, follow poet's way of light.
Prelude, Sheruda, score, 1946. Soufiane, score,
Laila,
1961.
A woman desires in free love.
Strings of the piano and drums of wood and pottery, score, 1945.
In pursuit there yonder, follow poet's vision beyond a woman, Laila, desires in free love.
Why voice? I really wanted to ask you this question. Why are you so fascinated with the human voice? And how is it possible that every now and then we hear your voice in your recordings? Somehow a voice that is maniac, a voice of a man that lost his sanity. You used your voice in Laila and the Poet from 1959. You used the voice of the women of the Tsar in Ta'bir al-Tsar in 1944. You used your voice in Sansa Time in your electronic music from 2016. You also used your voice to navigate time and count in your work with Martha Graham, the seminal piece Clytemnestra. I was reading the other day some of your texts about voice and about somehow maybe your relationship to it. In Onyezi Festival in South Africa in 2005, I think I found a bit of an answer for that question that I have in mind. You contributed with a text and you wrote, "My immediate response to Dimitri was that I want to bring electronic music back to Africa, to the source, because the people hear in their song, they already knew how to do electronic music. And that's why I said, Onyezi born within." The concept of transformation and form is right of this continent, and I don't have to go too far to, let's say, have cerebral thinking. It comes out of their body, and actually the human voice is the most fantastic. The human voice is the most fantastic thing to transform. You could use the human voice to transform the vibration. You can use the human voice to change the electric voltage. You can create electricity with people's voices. It is like creating electrical particles in the air. So the knowledge is here to bring back the knowledge to Africa.
Thank you.
Can I ask you something? How did you defy time? Time of the avant-garde. Element the time of ethnomusicology. Score, 1959. How did you defy time of history of electronic music? Sorry, clarinet, time of the horn, history of trumpet, music. Piano, percussion, and mezzo-soprano. In 1961, you were commissioned by the Egyptian Ministry of Culture to compose the sound for the light and sound show, honoring another time, a time that precedes time, inaugurating the time of the African continent, manifested in the colossal Great Pyramids of Giza. Here history began.
Fast forward, pause, rewind, forward, fast forward.
I wonder, can time be pushed? Can we bend time when telling your story? Do you think we can remix history, fast forward, pause, rewind, forward again, stop, replay? Can we remix history in a way that would almost feel as if we are physically spinning a record on a turntable, crossing time, touching time, and flying through different temporalities? Those other sonic methods. Sonic geographies, untiming the time tied to the Western Quarter and the fetish of that genius composer, the father figure, the inventor, the invader, the man. Music for Oriental percussion. You were right. This conversation could easily turn into a book. You are a book. You are time. Less.
Tabla dance, piano, Indian drums, cymbals, score,
1961. I'm bored. It is about time.
Score, 1965. Chamber,
I was listening to your music the other day. Big Tooth Aspen. This colossal archive that you have left behind, which stretches over a span of 70 years, which includes all kinds of musics, genres, recordings, knowledges, texts, and I actually wanted to ask you, what would you call your music? I mean, you so gently cross-pollinated so many genres, so many styles, worked with so many instruments, and it's interesting to see how everyone has an opinion to how best categorize what you did in 1944. Frame it somehow so they can understand it under a construct of a musical genre. But in the meantime, also box it within that linear understanding of time of the Western avant-garde and its so-called inventors, composers, invaders, men. It seems that everyone is also so fascinated with your work, especially within the electronic music domain. I mean, those tape machines, wire recorders from 1944, before and after, I mean, they for sure sound exciting. But don't you think it's a bit lazy that when we say Halim al-Dabh, we can only say Ta'bir al-Zar? Is Ta'bir al-Zar electronic music to you? Or is it voice music that transcends a feeling through electricity and vibration? So when fighting over who was the first one to produce this kind of music or that kind of music, when being so busy reorganizing a timeline, that timeline, it seems that we have forgotten to listen to you.
Thank you.
Masriyat is a piece that I feel connects me with Egypt, and I don't want to finish it. It's still there because this is me growing in Egypt.
But we have it on two CDs.
What?
Yes.
My wife said, I don't know that. She said on two CDs she's got wow. Masriyat. We have Arabiyat?
No, but they're a little bit different, the two Masriyat.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Me playing?
Yes, you
play. Yeah, I played it also. I had a big... I played it in Alexandria at the celebration for the library opening. So, yeah, I don't want to finish. It's like this is me and Egypt fighting back and forth with sound that I don't want to complete it. You know, I'm holding it. Some pieces I don't want to finish and leave them exposed to change. So Masriyat is one of them. This composition was 1932. Every time I played it, there's something new in it. It's a continual relationship with my background. I have a piece called Arabiyat and Ifriqiyat. Yeah, I have to work on those two. So things get tough sometimes in terms of, you know, I'd like to rest a little bit, but I'm always excited and motivated by sound.
Halim basically is one of the stories that brought me home, even though I was home, you know, even though I was in Cairo, I was home. I wasn't away, I wasn't physically traveling, but I think I was far away from a lot of things for different reasons. So for me, the story of Halim and me is about going back home constantly. You know, whenever I open a text by his or I try to revisit his thoughts and writing, he's a constant reminder of home. And he's also a constant reminder of nomadism to some extent, and which maybe is something that I think many of my colleagues experience also, like this constantly living in that nomadic sense.
I wonder, why is it so important that when we want to tell your story, we need to validate it through comparing it not only to another time, but also to another geography. Haven't you composed Tabir el-Zar on the African continent, in Egypt, in Cairo? My question is rather, what were the sounds and the voices that led you to this kind of exploration, even before 1944, and up until your passing in 2017? It seems that while everyone is so busy correcting the timeline of the inventors, of the genius composers, many have forgotten to listen to what you have produced and composed before 44 and after 44.
I was very moved and excited. I wasn't thinking about what the world is going to look at, or what's going to make in the field of this or that. I was really elated, and the feeling was exuberance and excitement when I was working with the music. And all I wanted to do was realize it. And the other thing just seemed to follow, coming through to it. It's like, yes, I worked so hard to do this excitement. It was, I call it work, but it's really, it's kind of work that enriches your feeling. And wanted to do more and more into it. And the more I did, the more excitement, and the more people wanted to know what's going on. And it seems like, what would happen if I stayed in Cairo and I wasn't invited? The main invitation to America was my work, It Is Dark and Damp on the Front, which I did at the Old Saints Cathedral. And the idea of electronic music in the United States, it's really happened because somehow this guy, Luning and Mysoshevsky, ended up running into me. And what I was doing, they went crazy with when they saw what I was doing. And immediately invited me to Columbia University Group. So it was like, I don't know what you call it, destiny, or, but the excitement was to create. It didn't matter where, whether I was in Cairo or New York City, or Peterborough, New Hampshire, or part of in France when I did the other things. So it was like a pulse that went through my body, like was like a pulse of my own heart, kind of generated dynamics. And to feel that what I'm doing was very stimulating and very invigorating, like a zest, a whole feeling of life was entering me by doing it.
Laila, follow poet's way of light. Laila, a woman desires in free love, in pursuit there yonder, follow poet's vision beyond. A woman, Laila, desires in free love.
Thank you.
married in love. Madmen buried in love. Madmen buried in love. Madmen buried in love. Madman dead. Madman dead. Layla, tied to man by love, in the creed of kinship and tribe.